I therefore declare Ed Miliband the winner and the leader of the Labour Party.
He's had to deal with the presence of his brother, Foreign Secretary in the last government, since the very moment he declared his candidacy after Labour lost the 2010 election.
You know, David is my best friend in the world. I love him dearly. And I think it is absolutely possible and necessary for this party to have a civilised contest. And I actually, as I said this to him when we discussed it, I think it makes it more likely, frankly, having two brothers running against each other.
And his leadership has had to take shape in that shadow. They chose the wrong brother, the critics say. And in his own party, everyone knows that there is an emotional colour to this story. Dame Tessa Jowell, former minister and Labour MP, family friend, who voted for David.
The decision by Ed to run against David is something that I think will mark their family forever.
How did they handle it?
Well, David's gone to New York because, and he's got...
He had to, didn't he?
I think he did have to. I think he sort of had to get out and create his own space. I think and I hope that in time they will resume a relationship. But I think that that's impossible before the general election. But I do know that David only wishes Ed well and wants to see him as Prime Minister.
Maybe it's why talking about Ed Miliband means talking about his family. A North London home that was a left-wing salon where the songs had the flavour of a crusade. Politics flowed through the house. His father, Ralph, was a high intellectual of the left. Here, at the Oxford Union in 1965, on the Vietnam War.
At the heart of this conflict, there is a civil war. With, on one side, nationalist, socialist, communist, neutralist forces grouped in the National Liberation Front. And on the other side, there are the military men, the politicians, the landowners, the racketeers, and all the forces of property and privilege. And
this is a... In that sense, he had a privileged background. You had to read and trade ideas, argue. The two brothers went to Oxford, the path that their father wanted. And they found themselves, by chance, growing up in a Labour Party that, by 1997, was coming in from the cold. The Blair victory was the opening for Ed Miliband. He was soon working for the Chancellor, Gordon Brown, deep in the heart of government. But according to Damien McBride, the Brown enforcer who fell from grace when his brutal tactics were exposed, he was sometimes a bit of a fish out of water.
What was always interesting about Ed Miliband was he stuck out in Gordon Brown's office for not enjoying the politics of it. He certainly didn't enjoy the media glad-handing. He didn't enjoy the obsession with, you know, what we can get on the front of tomorrow's papers.
And maybe the dark arts.
And many of the dark arts. He certainly didn't enjoy the kind of ruthlessness with which Gordon said, everything is about me. You support me and I therefore further you. And he certainly didn't enjoy the short-termism of it, thinking about things one speech to the next. He wanted to step back and think about what world we wanted to create. And in that way, he's a very different politician to Gordon Brown, a different politician to most of the ones we meet in the House of Commons today.
Different? But how? Some of his former cabinet colleagues, he was climate change secretary in Brown's government for 2 years, will say, although not in public, that he was indecisive, famous for it. I put that to Stuart Wood, Lord Wood, his principal strategy advisor and a fellow graduate of the Gordon Brown School.
I reject the idea that he's indecisive, and I point to the things we've done in the last 5 years. I mean, we had to make quick, large judgment calls on a number of big issues.
It's the difference that Damon McBride has always seen.
I think he can be indecisive, but that's part of being thoughtful. Now, in some ways, that can be a great strength as a Prime Minister, that he's willing to sort of get deep into issues and think about the big things. And he doesn't want to worry about the minutiae. He doesn't want to worry about the small stuff. But I think where it will be a problem for him is that if he feels that he doesn't know his own mind confidently enough in crisis situations to say, right, this is what I'll do.
The question is whether that kind of difference is a help or a hindrance.
But look... You know and I know, I'm not from central casting. You can find people who are more square-jawed, more chiselled, who look less
like Wallace. And I even believe that you could probably find people who look better eating a bacon sandwich.
Fine, you fight back when you have to. But no one advising a party leader in an election campaign wants to have to be so defensive. Tessa Jowell, one of the Labour figures campaigning to be Mayor of London, and therefore tramping the streets with all the relish of an old campaigner, acknowledges how difficult it's been, but says it's a lot better now.
Over the last two or three weeks, Ed comes up less and less. In fact, the last 16 hours didn't decide across six constituencies. He didn't come up once as a reason not to vote Labour. And I think that what people are now recognising is his resilience, which is extraordinary, that he's very calm under fire, and that he does have his own kind of authenticity.
Well, do they? The polls suggest not. His adviser, Stuart Wood.
A lot of people would say this is a man who took on Rupert Murdoch. This is a man who's prepared to stand up for his father when he's introduced by the Daily Mail. This is a man who's made a pledge to freeze energy prices for a period while we sort out the energy market. Now, I think those things have got through to people who don't necessarily follow politics day to day.
That's the question that voters will have to decide in the next month or so. His party doesn't have a solid lead in the polls. He faces a nightmarish assault on Labour's Scottish citadel from the SNP. And often, as in the last Prime Minister's questions of the Parliament yesterday, he seems to be the man who fumbles the ball in the box. His opponents think he'll find it hard to surf the dangerous waves of this campaign and may well sink. The argument from his friends and advisers like Stuart Wood is that for all the awkwardness of a politician who sometimes seems uncomfortable in the role, he can make it a campaign about ideas and not the man.
Ed, I think, has had the courage to say the accepted views about the government just having to stay out of the way the economy works. An orthodoxy that frankly was accepted by left and right for quite a period. That has to change. And that's been, I think, a risky thing to do, but it's paid off.
Even if you accept that argument, there's another question that will be asked every day between now and May the 7th and will follow Ed Miliband wherever he goes. This is a tough business. Has he got what it takes?
It's absolutely tough enough. And anyone who's gone through the last 5 years in his shoes and is in the position he's in has to be tough enough to still be there and to be about to challenge to be the next Prime Minister in the way he is.